Rat Pack, where you at? What's going on? It's the FCN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Rackliff. It is Friday, January 12th. We're about to head into Wild Card Weekend. A lot of things at play here. And man, it used to be the divisional round was the best weekend of football. I kind of like Wild Card more because there are six games. Of course, we have a lot of different games we could be playing. Maybe had a draft and hold. Of course, we covered that on the podcast on Wednesday. Rankings and strategy for draft and hold leagues. You might have one and done. I'm going to talk about those on the podcast today. You could be in a DFS style postseason league, maybe even a salary cap style. All of those are in the mix, and we're going to break it down, including a few betting thoughts. And I want to dive right in with the first game, Cleveland and Houston. What a season for the Browns. I mean, honestly, this is the first team since this 1970 merger to play a playoff game without their week one starting quarterback, running back, left tackle, and right tackle. Lost all of those guys this season. Watson, Chubb, Conklin, Wills. 27% of the Browns salary cap on injured reserve. Yet, unlike a lot of teams who limp into the playoffs like this, they're a favorite. And they're a favorite because of Joe Flacco. 1,616 passing yards, 13 passing scores in five starts. This has been magical. Of course, he put up 368 and 3 against the Texans just a few weeks ago. That was the 265 and 2 scores on 11 catches game for Amari Cooper as well. But it's not just Cooper, it's David Njoku, who is such a force here with Flacco under center. Now, of course, that's not to knock the other side. The other side has been tremendous here. D'Amico Ryan's huge turnaround for this organization. Houston could become the first team since the 1981 New York Giants to win a playoff game with 200-1 or longer preseason title odds. Pretty crazy. And it's even crazier when you consider this team traded Deshaun Watson away to the Browns. Like, this should be the Deshaun Watson revenge game, and it's not. And that set the wheels in motion for this rebuild. And the rebuild is here. CJ Stroud is here. They nailed it. They nailed it with Will Anderson, too. Stroud could become the youngest quarterback to win, starting quarterback to win a playoff game since Michael Vick in 2002. That's the record. Stroud would actually break the record. I'm not going to take the 36-22 score of the previous game really that seriously because Stroud didn't play in it. Of course, we're waiting to see if Noah Brown will play, but he is listed as questionable, got limited practice in, so he could very well be out there. Flacco is a gamer in the postseason. Covered in seven straight playoff starts. He is 11-4 against the spread all time in the playoffs. So right now we are looking at a two-point spread in this one. I'm not playing anything in terms of spread, and I'm just picking the Cleveland Browns to win this one. I only have one underdog pick this week in terms of a team that isn't favored. But I do like Flacco's passing yards is 269.5. Like we, by the way, there's a whole betting article over at ftnbets.com. Some of the stuff that I cover on this podcast will be in there, but more betting plays. So I'll give you the Flacco one here. You got to go to ftnbets.com. These are free. It's a free article, so you can get more of the plays. But I like that 269.5 at minus 115 on the over. As far as one-and-done strategy is concerned, the way that I approach these postseason games is a lot of times I want guys with a lot of bang for my buck who I think are going to lose. It doesn't always have to be the case, and especially wild card weekend. But you know, if you think Houston is going to lose, you know, you have to ask yourself the question, is CJ Stroud the best option? Or, you know, honestly, I think from the LA Detroit game, that's your best option, a quarterback, whoever you think is going to lose. But Stroud could be in play here. It's more so, though, Nico Collins in one and done. I think he's one of the better one and done plays out there this week. Going to stay away from the run game. And I do have Cleveland winning. I want to save Cleveland if I can get away with it for next round. As far as DFS is concerned, I am looking primarily at the showdown slate. I'm going to play a lot of showdown during the playoffs. I think Flacco obviously is a good option at captain, as is Stroud and Amari Cooper and Nico Collins. If I'm going a little bit, it's not contrarian, but I'll have some David Njoku as well. I'm going to stay away from the run game on both sides. Okay, moving on to the next contest on the list. And we're just going to go in order of the schedule here. Miami, Kansas City. The weather is the big factor, other than the Tyreek Hill coming back to Arrowhead for the first time since leaving the team. But, I mean, he's been phenomenal. We know that. We know he's been phenomenal. But the weather is the factor. The current forecast, -2 with 10 to 15 mile an hour winds. The winds aren't that major. It's just going to make it feel colder. There's another game with wind that is more important here, and we'll get to that in a moment. 24% chance of snow. Miami not used to the cold. They've lost 10 straight games with a kickoff temperature below 40 degrees. Tua Tagovailoa has lost all five of the coldest starts of his career, 57% completion rate, 5 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions in those games. This will also be his first career playoff start. He didn't start last year. He was concussed, remember, but he's had a heck of a regular season, 4,624 passing yards. Of course, Mostert also, massive season as well, 21 touchdowns on the season. He is questionable, he and Jaylen Waddle, after limited practice all week. So they're still up in the air. I think ultimately they do go, but keep an eye on that one. The Chiefs obviously have had a tremendous run over the last 6 seasons. This is 6 straight playoff appearances. They could become the first team since the 2018. Well, it was 2016 that they did 6 straight. The Patriots won a playoff game in 8 straight postseasons. But the first team since then to do so, only one other team has done so in NFL history, and that is the Cowboys. Those 6 seasons, not a coincidence, because those are the 6 seasons Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback. Magical run, 3 Super Bowl appearances, 2 Super Bowl wins. It's been tremendous. But this team isn't the same team. They backslid a little bit this year. They're still good, don't get me wrong, but they're not dominant. And a big part of that problem is the receivers. 28 drops on the season, 12% drop rate. That's by far both of them the highest in the NFL. Mahomes has no downfield presence. When throwing over 10 yards in the air, 1 touchdown, 6 interceptions this season. Yikes. So the Chiefs, of course, are 4.5-point favorites in this one. They are just 2-5-1 against the spread in their last 8 games as a favorite. The projected score I have here, 25.2 to 20.8. I don't see Miami winning here. I have Kansas City winning. I do think an interesting play here, though, is Travis Kelce anytime touchdown. Now, he hasn't scored in any of his last 6 games, but you get plus odds on it as a result, plus 115 on FanDuel. He scored a touchdown in 6 straight playoff games, and I think that streak continues here. Moving over to one and done, I'm not using Miami. I mean, I could see people using Tyreek Hill. I'm actually going to fade Tyreek Hill. I mean, the matchup is bad for him. He's going to see L'Jarius Sneed. I do think that the cold air takes the air out of the ball. The cold weather takes the air out of the ball for Miami. I think this is going to be run-centric primarily here. And actually, that leads me to showdown. I could see people using Tyreek Hill. Again, pick your poison there, though. He's $19,200 as the captain on DraftKings. That's really expensive. Kelce, meanwhile, 12-6. I like him. Pacheco, 1,200. I love that play. I don't actually like Mahomes that much. So I think I'll have a little bit of Tyreek Hill, but man, those lineups are going to be really hard to build. And then I'm going to dive headlong into Kelce and Pacheco as my primary. Maybe have a contrarian like Achan or Mostert. 12-9 for Mostert, 13-8 for Achan. So there you go on that one. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, of course, Buffalo at home. Mike Tomlin and Sean McDermott were college teammates at William & Mary way back when in 1993-94. So pretty interesting stuff there. But Pittsburgh has a really tough task here. They are going to be playing without T.J. Watt. They've had 11 games since T.J. Watt's rookie season where he was off the field, where he was hurt. They are 1-11 in those games. Not good. They also have this makeover going on at quarterback. Mason Rudolph now is the quarterback. It's really fascinating. He's actually the first Steelers quarterback other than Big Ben to start a playoff game since Tommy Maddox. And that was 21 years ago, the 2002 season. Rudolph has been all right here, but I'm burying the lead because the big factor is the weather in this one. It's not going to be as cold as Saturday night's game, but it's still going to be under 20 degrees, at least according to the forecast. But it's the wind here. Winds are forecasted between 25 and 30 miles an hour, and I've said it many times before. Cold, it's not optimal, sure. The ball's hard, the ground's hard, but I'm not going to have it as a big factor. Same with snow. Snow is actually the least of all weather conditions. Like, if you're looking at the four, snow, rain, wind, cold. Sometimes you get all of them or a combination of them. But just snow, not a big concern. Rain, a little bit more of a concern. But wind is the worst. Wind is by far the worst. And in fact, we didn't get a wind game in Buffalo this year, but the last big one that we got was in 2021. It was week 13. The Bills played the Patriots that year. It was 27 miles an hour at kickoff. Gusts were up over 40 miles an hour during the game. New England won that game 14-10. Mac Jones threw the ball three times. That's it. Josh Allen did throw it 30 times, but he only went 15-30 for 145 yards and a touchdown. So be very careful here. Now, of course, Allen is great, and he'll run, and actually he averages 52.1 rushing yards per game in his playoff career, but I just don't expect a lot through the air in this one, so be very, very careful. Now, history is working against the Steelers in a couple ways. First, we've never seen a 7-seed win since the playoffs expanded in 2020. Also, right now, depending on where you look, they're either 10-point dogs or 9.5-point. If it is double digits, double-digit underdogs are 0-11 straight up all time in the postseason. 0-11. The biggest upset we've ever seen was plus 9.5. That was in 2010. When the Seahawks upset the Saints, but you don't remember maybe that part. You remember Beastquake, the Marshawn Lynch, get off me, child's play. The run to end all runs was in that very game right there. But history working against the Steelers regardless. I have it a low-scoring affair, 24.5 to 15.8 with Buffalo dominating here. I'm taking Buffalo to win. I don't think there's much in terms of betting on the sides or total here. However, Mason Rudolph, the one that really stands out to me, I think they're going to take the air out of the ball, and they've really kind of done that anyway with Rudolph under center. It's not like he's out there throwing the ball 50 times. So it's 26.5, but it's really juiced the under on FanDuel. I saw 25.5 minus 110 to the under on DraftKings. Based on what we saw out of Mac Jones way back when, based on what we've seen here recently about Mason Rudolph, I think an under is very much in play. I do not expect a lot of passing in this game. That is going to impact how we play this for showdown purposes. And honestly, maybe Najee Harris, if you think they're going to really run a lot. I don't even love that in one and done, I'll be honest. I'd rather maybe use him in showdown, but not in one and done. I don't think he's that premium of a play. So showdown-wise, captain, I'm fading Josh Allen. I'm definitely fading Mason Rudolph. I will stick to James Cook, Najee Harris, Jalen Warren. Warren is the cheapest at 9,600. I could see Stephon Diggs if they dink and dunk a little bit, or Dalton Kincaid if they dink and dunk a little bit, because I don't expect high air yards throws. That ball is going to move all around in the air if they do that. Green Bay and Dallas, Mike McCarthy, revenge. Of course, he won the Super Bowl with Green Bay way back in 2010, and he faces his former team. Dallas is a juggernaut at home, 16-game home win streak. They were undefeated at home, obviously, in the regular season, 37.4 points per game at home. And it helps when you have Dak Prescott, 36 passing touchdowns, CeeDee Lamb, 135 catches on the season. They've been unstoppable down the stretch. Green Bay is a 7-seed. 7 seeds have never won in the postseason since the start of the playoffs. I just mentioned that stat, but it bears repeating here. But I will say this. Green Bay is on a heater heading into the postseason. Matt LaFleur has a team playing very good football. They have won 6 of their last 8. They started 3-6 to begin the season. And a lot of it, Jordan Love. Over his last 8 games, Jordan Love posted 18-1 touchdown to interception ratio. 9 games of 2-plus touchdowns, no interceptions on the season. And I shouldn't gloss over that 18 passing touchdowns, 1 interception. When we look over the history of the NFL, check this out, because this has happened a few times down the stretch of the season, with the most recent one being former Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. He did that in 2021, either 1 or 0 interceptions in the final 18 games of the season, 18-plus passing touchdowns. Rodgers, 2021, MVP. Drew Brees did it in 2019. He did not win the MVP, but Lamar Jackson did it in 2019, and he won the MVP. So they both, only one of them could win it. Cam Newton did it in 2015. He won the MVP. Tom Brady did it in 2010. he won the MVP. In other words, while Jordan Love isn't going to win the MVP, he's playing at an MVP level. And that is really testament to the progress he's made over the course of the season. Really impressive stuff there. Of course, we've also seen Aaron Jones unleash 20 carries, 20 plus carries, 100 plus yards in each of his last three games. I don't know if A.J. Dillon plays here, by the way. He's still banged up. I don't have a Friday practice report, but it's not looking good. Dak Prescott, 1-5 against the spread in his postseason NFL career. Not good. Uh-oh. I don't think Green Bay wins, though. I have a 28.4 to 22.3. Dallas winning. I will give you, how about this? We'll give you a kicking prop. Brandon Aubrey, over 7.5 kicking points, minus 138 on FanDuel. Yeah, kickers need a little love, too. Brandon Aubrey has been piping field goals this season from distance with ease. He's only failed to cover this line once in his last six games. For showdown purposes in this one, I mean, yeah, CeeDee Lamb, he's going to be expensive, and so is Dak Prescott, but they are going to, you know, it's good chalk. 18-3 for CeeDee, 17-1 for Dak. I think Aaron Jones is really interesting for some contrarian lineups, and then Jordan Love would be in play as well. I'll probably have a lineup or two of Jaden Reed, too, because he's been awesome this season, and he is healthy and good to go here. Jones is the only one I'd be willing to use in one-and-dones this week. I'm not going as far as Jaden Reed because there are better options. There are six teams that are going to lose this week, so you do have some good options out there. The Rams and Detroit Lions, I'm so looking forward to this game. Ultimate revenge game. The revenge game to end all revenge games. We made the universe itself implode into itself with this revenge game. Stafford Goff. First postseason game in NFL history between quarterbacks facing their former teams. That's awesome. Of course, the Rams traded Goff away for Matthew Stafford. They also traded two first-round picks and a third-round pick. But it worked. They won the Super Bowl. And then they were really rough in 2022. But now they're back on track, and a lot of that credit, you know, should go to Sean McVay. Coached this team up. 7 wins in their last 8 games. Stafford playing great football. 15 touchdowns from weeks 12 to 15. Puka Nacua setting rookie records. Kyren Williams, a force of nature. 7 straight games with 100-plus scrimmage yards, which is the longest streak by a Rams player since Steven Jackson. So Todd Gurley didn't even have a streak like that. That was back in 2009. The Lions, division title, seeking their first playoff win since 1991. But they are backsliding a little bit. 4-3 over their last 7 games. It hasn't been just an absolute dominant stretch. And some of that's the defense. They're the 29th scoring defense since week 7, 25.6 points per game. Only 18.8 allowed over the first 6 weeks of the season. But they have Gibbs. They have Laporta. They have Amon-Ra. They have David Montgomery. All that firepower. But there's firepower on the other side as well. For Detroit, this is just the 4th playoff game since the 1970 merger where they've been favored. And they've lost all 3 of the previous games outright. The last one they were favored is the 1995 wildcard round. They lost to the Eagles by 21 points. Yikes. The Rams have covered 6 of their last 7. McVay 3-1 against the spread in road playoff games in his 5 postseason appearances. So, I have this projected a little bit lower than the spread. The spread is 3. I have it Detroit 26.5 to 25.1. So, a little bit closer than the spread. And if you follow me along, you know I'm not afraid to go against projections with a subjective game pick. And I'm doing just that here. I think the Rams win this one. Every year you will get a team who is an upset win in the first round of the playoffs. I think they're that team this year. I said it on Wednesday. Kyren Williams, 19.5 rushing attempts, is plus 105 on DraftKings. He's topped it in 6 of his last 7 games. He's a bell cow. Sean McVay is going to lean on the bell cow here. So, one and done in this one, you go after who you think is going to lose. If you think the Rams are going to lose, then load up on the Rams. Kyren Williams, Puka Nacua, it does not matter if you use both of them. This is going to be a high-scoring game. If you think they are going to win, Jahmyr Gibbs, Amon-Ra, you know, it doesn't matter because, again, we don't know if Laporta is going to play, by the way. He's still up in the air. So if he doesn't play, then obviously, you know, we're not using anybody else from them at tight end, and that would make Amon-Ra even more appealing. And then quarterback wise, I don't mind using Stafford or Goff, whoever you think is going to lose here. I'm loading up on this game in one and done. It is projected to be the highest scoring game on the slate. Showdown doesn't matter who wins or loses in showdown. So I think, you know, this one's going to be just friggin' awesome. I have Nacua, Amon-Ra, Kyren, Goff, Stafford, even Gibbs potentially in the mix. Now, none of those guys are cheap. The cheapest of the bunch, though, is Gibbs. So you get some bang for your buck with him. You're going to have to find some cheap options, but that's where the Laporta news comes into play. If Laporta doesn't play, then you will have cheap flex options. They're not going to be captain options, but flex options in Brock Wright and James Mitchell. Both of those guys will give you some salary saving. All right, let's round it out. Philadelphia, Tampa Bay. The Eagles plowed their way through the first half of the season, but boy, oh boy, they've been in a nosedive, losing five of their last six. Also dealing with A.J. Brown, who suffered a knee injury in that regular season finale. He looks like he's very much up in the air. He did not practice on Thursday. I don't have a Friday report or a Saturday report. Obviously, I'm recording this on Friday late morning, so I don't have a Friday report yet. Keep an eye on him. The Eagles did win this matchup back in week three, 25-11, but week three feels like a lifetime ago. And while the Eagles have lost five of their last six, the Bucs have won five of their last six. Of course, Jalen Hurts is good to go for this one, 15 rushing touchdowns on the season. If A.J. Brown doesn't go, that really hurts the cause. But Devontae Smith would be really interesting for DFS. I'll get into that in a moment. The Bucs perimeter corner duo of Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean have allowed 10 touchdowns this season combined, each of them five. So really good spot here if both Brown and Smith play. Over to the other side, this is the fourth straight playoff appearance for Tampa, but the first one without Tom Brady under center. And honestly, go back to August, this looked pretty bleak. I didn't think Baker Mayfield was going to be much of anything. I thought this was kind of the last hurrah for him, and then he'd go to being a backup. Nope. 4,044 passing yards, 28 scores. He's the real deal for this team, and they love him, and it's a great situation. So Baker, he's helping stave off Father Time for Mike Evans. He hasn't been as helpful for Chris Godwin, but I'll get into him in a moment. Well, actually, let's do it right now. So I think Darius Slay is going to shadow Mike Evans. That means James Bradbury for Chris Godwin. That means giddy up, Chris Godwin. James Bradbury's allowed 9 passing scores or, you know, receiving touchdowns in his coverage in the regular season. The Eagles are road favorites here. They were road favorites back in the Monday Night Football contest back in week three that they won, but they failed to cover in 6 straight games. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield in the postseason, 2-0 against the spread. Both of them came with the Browns back in 2020. I still have the Eagles winning. I do think they get through this one. If they don't, Nick Sirianni's job could be gone. We'll see. 24.3 to 20.5, I do have Philly winning. So the only non-chalk play that I have is the Rams this weekend. Something interesting you could do, like obviously Jalen Hurts, 15 rushing touchdowns on the regular season, scored in 11 of 17 games. But, you know, if you think it's any time, FanDuel has the better odds right now. It's minus 120 on FanDuel. It's actually higher, you know, shorter odds, so a lower payout on DraftKings. FanDuel also has him at plus 555 if you think he scores 2+ touchdowns. And he did do that a couple times in the regular season. Will we use Jalen Hurts in showdown? I think it's fine to do so. I would be a little bit more cautious if there's no A.J. Brown, but the thing about Hurts is he puts up so many points with his legs. I really think, though, that Chris Godwin is very interesting for the reason I just mentioned. If he gets Bradbury, he may be atop the list. I like Rashad White a lot. Even though the Eagles are good against the run, I mean, he's a 3-down back, so he's going to catch passes too. So I think using both of the Tampa wideouts, Rashad White, Jalen Hurts, and if A.J. Brown doesn't go, Devontae Smith would be the other obvious answer in showdown. For one-and-done purposes, Rashad White is one of my top plays of the week. I could see using Evans or Godwin as well, but I'm honing in on Rashad White. I actually have him as my number two running back this week. Now, of course, if you think Tampa wins, maybe you shy away from that, but that's how I see it unfolding. All right, so we're going to be back next week. I believe next week the plan for me is to do two podcasts. I'll do essentially like a recap, likely on Tuesday, maybe Monday. We'll see. I don't know if I got to go to Bed Bath & Beyond and Home Depot, so I don't know if there's going to be enough time. But we'll do a recap and we'll catch you up on the latest on the coaching front. By the way, Jerod Mayo looks like he, you know, it's official now. He's going to be the next head coach of the Patriots. So more on that. And then next week we'll do a full Friday breakdown for the divisional round as well. Enjoy the games. And remember, FTNBets.com if you want this article for free. It's a lengthy preview. It's really good. I wrote it, broke it all down, gave you three free betting picks for each game as well. And if you want the fantasy stuff, the rankings, all that good stuff, FTNFantasy.com. I'm at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Instagram. And I'll catch you on the flip side of the weekend for another edition of the pod. Playoffs, baby! All right, I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.